Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and good to see, I believe, Molly, Rose, Mother. Am I correct? Sitting at the back? Okay, I'm still busy sorting out the children going to Sunday school. Welcome, and also Mr. and Mrs. Zhao. Please pray for them. Their returning trip to China has been postponed because of the coronavirus situation. So they will still be here for another 1 or 2 weeks. 为了这个赵先生还有赵太太祷告，因为他们本来要回去打算回去中国的，因为但是因为武汉肺炎的这个情况。 现在这个回去的路程要延迟，所以为他们祷告。Okay, and good to see some of you, all of you here. Okay, this afternoon I would like to begin a new series from the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk is a tiny book of only 3 chapters. And not real easy to find the Bible. It is the 5th book back from the end of the New Old Testament. But unless you know your Bible well, especially the Old Testament, you will probably want to use your table of contents to find it. God willing, I would like to preach a series of messages from this book. And the series is called, the title of the series is called The Journey from Doubt to Faith. The Journey from Doubt to Faith. Because that is what the book of Habakkuk is all about. And I'm sure some of you may have been on a similar journey in the past. And I am sure you have your own story to tell. But today I'm going to tell you about Habakkuk's story. A prophet who was struggling with questions about evil in the world and why God permits evil. Habakkuk's 3 big questions were, does God care? Of course he cares. The simple answer is that God cares. Second question is God fair? I can answer you that. God is fair. And the third question is God there? Of course he's there. He's everywhere. But these are the 3 questions Habakkuk asked in the book of Habakkuk. People are still asking the same questions today. Lord willing, we shall seek to answer these questions in the coming weeks. The book of Habakkuk traces the prophet's journey from doubt to faith, as he brought his complaints to God and found satisfying answers to his questions. The book begins with today's passage in chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, where Habakkuk asked the first of these questions, does God care? Does God care? It is a question that has haunted countless persons and Christians over the ages as they have grappled with the problem of evil in this world. Questions such as, if God is all-powerful, then why does he allow evil and suffering? Is God concerned about us at all? Does he notice all the problems and troubles that takes place on our planet? Does God care? If you have ever asked questions like these before, then you are not alone. Habakkuk struggled with the same questions and doubts, and he was a prophet. Only 3 prophets in the Old Testament specifically identified themselves as a prophet. At the beginning of their book, Habakkuk being one of them, and the two others are Haggai and Zechariah. Verse 1 begins with this verse. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Habakkuk identifies himself as a prophet, and then he identifies the book that follows, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet see. The word burden is another word for prophecy. And in this book, Habakkuk brings his complaints before the Lord. And in verses 5 to 11, God answers Habakkuk's complaint. So he complained, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and God answers his questions in verses 5 to 11. And once again, if we were to sum up Habakkuk's complaint in these verses, it all comes down to the single question, that is, does God care? Does God care? Again, to give you a simple answer, yes, He does. He does care. But why do we sometimes get the impression that God does not care? Or why do people get the impression, including some Christians? There are a few reasons for that. Number one, sometimes we pray, but we do not see God's answer right away. So we conclude that God does not care for us. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Oh Lord, how long? How long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Will not hear me? How long shall I pray and you will not hear me?" So the key question is here is, how long? How long? How long? Apparently Habakkuk had been praying to God for quite a long time, but he did not see any answer coming. He began to wonder if God was even listening. Do you ever wonder if God is listening when you pray to Him? Have you ever prayed like that? I mean, have you ever prayed for something and then when the answer didn't come, you question whether God even heard you at all? So when God does not answer our prayer right away, we sometimes think that God does not care. That's the first reason sometimes we think that God does not care, because He does not answer our prayer right away. The second reason is could be that when we are in trouble and God does not deliver us right away. Look at the second half of verse 2 when Habakkuk continues his "how long" prayer. So the key phrase is "how long? How long?" Habakkuk 1, 2 says, "Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." The particular word for violence here also carries the idea of extreme injustice and cruelty. We hear in the news that there are injustice and cruelty everywhere. Sometimes we are just too tired of watching the news or listening to the radio. As the saying goes, no news is good news, right? Don't turn on the TV. Don't turn on the radio, because all the news we hear is bad news. All the injustice and cruelty happening everywhere in our country and around the world. One of the most difficult things to deal with in life is when someone harms you unjustly and intentionally. Our immediate reason is, how long? How long? A violent justice is harder to handle than accidental injury or pain, Because there is the additional affront to your dignity. This was Habakkuk's situation. And so he cried out, "How long, Lord? How long?" You can just hear the pain and desperation in his cry. Again, I ask, have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever prayed a how long prayer to God? How long, O Lord, until I finally get the job that I want? This is all unfair. How long until I get better from my illness? I'm tired of being sick. How long until my marriage relationship improves? How long until my loved ones come to Christ? My husband, my wife, and my children. How long until this burden is lifted from me? So sometimes when we are in trouble, and God does not deliver us right away, and sometimes we think that God does not care. And perhaps the most discouraging fact is that sometimes we see the wicked triumphing over the righteous. Look at verses 3 to 4. Habakkuk goes from asking God, "How long?" to asking God, "How wrong?" From "How long?" to "How wrong?" Verse 3 to 4. "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raised up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." I can't bear to see them. I can't bear to see them anymore. Habakkuk was writing at a time when the people of God had almost completely abandoned their loyalty to God and God's law. Habakkuk was surrounded by violence, destruction, conflict, and strife within his own people. He could not look to the leaders of the nation for help because the leaders were equally corrupt and immoral. The law was virtually paralyzed in this situation, and justice hardly, if ever, prevailed. The wicked not only outnumbered the righteous, they surrounded the righteous. A righteous few, hemming them in and cutting them off, twisting and distorting justice until justice was no longer recognizable. And so Habakkuk cried out, "Why? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Lord, don't you care?" So this time around, Habakkuk asked a question. Instead of "how long," he asked the question, "how wrong?" How wrong of God to allow all these things from happening? And God does not seem to care. Or does he? Well, he does care. Do you ever ask God the how wrong questions? Let's not ask you, have you ever asked God the how long questions? Have you ever asked God the how wrong questions? Do you ever wonder why God allows evil in this world? How wrong to have this happening to innocent people? Do you ever wonder why people who have no concern for God and His law seems to prosper and get ahead compared to the righteous. Meanwhile, you are doing your best to serve the Lord, and you feel like you are falling behind. And you begin to wonder if it is all worth it. I tell you, it is worth it. But sometimes you ask, does God really care? Like the prophet. These are some of the same questions Habakkuk was struggling with at the beginning of his journey from doubt to faith. Again, I want to assure you, God does care. And that leads us to the second point of our sermon. How do we know God does care? And God is going to answer that from verses 5 to 11. Remember, the first four verses were the complaints given by the prophet. And verses 5 to 11 are the answers God provides to the prophet. And in answering Habakkuk's questions, God showed Habakkuk that, and He shows us that, yes, He does care. He is concerned. And we know that God cares at least for three reasons. Number one, God assures us that He hears our every prayer. Number two, God promises that He will deliver us in His time. Not your own time, but in His time. And thirdly, God affirms that He will judge all the evil in this world one day. So let us briefly look at each of them and we're done. Number one, we know God cares because He assures us that He hears our every single prayer. Habakkuk wondered if God was listening to his prayer for justice. But God was listening all along. Look at verse 5. God said to Habakkuk, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." Not only had God been listening, you know what? God was moving the entire nation around in answering Habakkuk's prayer. In other words, God is telling Habakkuk, you just watch and see what I'm going to do. You are going to be utterly amazed. Isn't that just like God? While we are crying out, how long? And wondering if He is even listening, God is ready in process of answering our prayer, moving people, the entire nation behind the scenes to accomplish His will. And God often answers in the most amazing ways. If someone told us in advance how God was going to answer our prayers, we probably wouldn't even believe it. God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God works in mysterious ways. So just because we can't understand, just because we can't see God is working, doesn't mean God is not working. God is working behind the scenes. When we pray and God does not answer right away, we may sometimes think that God does not care. But never think that way. Sometimes He's just working behind the scenes. Sometimes He's preparing the hearts of the people. You may have been preparing, you may have been praying for someone's salvation for years and years. And little do you know that God has been working in his heart slowly and slowly, bringing situations all together, bringing all the circumstances together for him or her to come to know Christ. But you never knew. You simply do not know how God works. So be sure that God hears our every single prayer. Every time we need to cry out to God, God hears it. The question is, does God answer every prayer? He hears every one of our prayer, but does God answer every one of our prayer? Now, hearing a prayer is one thing. Answering a prayer is another thing. Yeah? My children can talk to me all they want. I'm listening, but doesn't mean that whatever they ask, I'm obliged to give them. Am I correct? All right? I'm listening. Well, we know that He hears us, but does God answer every one of our prayer? Well, there are at least three conditions God lays out for us in His Word that He will answer our prayer if our prayer is this and this and this. Three conditions. All right? So let us look at three passages of the Scriptures. Let us look at the first passage from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Now, this is the most important thing of all of three. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," right? If we do not pray according to His will, of course He will not answer our prayer. He will hear our prayer, but He will not answer them because it is not according to His will. He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And that is a promise. So the passage tells us that when we pray, we must ask according to God's will. That is the first condition. For example, I don't like to put my children on the spotlight, but if they ask for something that is not age-appropriate, I'm not going to say what, okay? Then I will say, no, maybe wait till you're bigger, all right? They may ask something. I will say, well, maybe it's not for you right now, right? Because it's not within my will to give you this. I will say, I will give you that until you're bigger, okay? I'm not going to tell you what it is, okay? Right, and they may be disappointed. Oh, but I was like, okay, it's good for you, you know. So I will still hear them, but I will answer them maybe with a wait. And some say that God answers our prayer in three different ways. You might have heard that before. One is yes, the other one is no, and the third answer is wait. Yeah. But you must ask according to His will. Okay? Yeah. All right. The second passage is from James chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "We must also ask with right motives." What is right motives? James 4, 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Ye ask wrongly, that ye may consume it upon your lust." What is the right motive? The right motives means our motives must be unselfish and God glorifying and honoring. Not something that we may consume upon our lust. And the lust is always bad. It's a worldly desire, it's a worldly kind of things that, you know, the Bible says that if we love the world, the love of God is not in us. For the things that are in the world are what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So if we ask something to be consumed upon our lust, it means that we want something to gratify our flesh. And that is not God glorifying and God honoring. And God, of course, will say, well, no. Number three. And the third passage is from Psalm 66, verse 18. It says that we must also come to God with a pure heart. Psalm 66, 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So that does not mean that we need to be perfect, right? Because nobody is. But it does mean that before we come to God to ask for something, we need to ask Him to forgive us our sins. Right? So every prayer that you make to God, make sure you include a confession of sin. Yeah? God, forgive my sins and hear my prayer. So ask God to forgive you first of our sins every single day. And then ask us to, and ask God for your petitions and supplications. So recap. So we all come before God, we must, when we come before God, we must ask according to His will. Right? That's the number one thing that we need to do. Number two, with the right motives, unselfish motive, but God-glorifying and God-honoring motive. With a pure heart, which means we come before Him asking for His forgiveness before we submit our supplications and our prayer items. And God promises to hear us and to answer our prayer. So God assures us that He hears us and He will answer our every prayer because God cares. Number two, we also know that God cares because He promises us that He will deliver us in His own time. Now, this is probably the most difficult thing to accept, right? Because when we ask for deliverance, we want it now. You know, I want God to deliver me right now. I don't want later. I want now. But this is one thing we need to learn. Wait upon God to deliver you. And His timing is the best timing. And we may not agree with God, but we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I submit unto your will. I'm willing to wait. I don't know why you want me to wait, but I am willing to submit to you. So this is to answer Habakkuk's how long question. God has His purposes, and we must trust His timing. Verse 6, where God tells Habakkuk how He will deliver him. Habakkuk 1:6 says, I raise up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation. We shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. This was the amazing thing that Habakkuk would not have to believe even if we're told. While Habakkuk was busy crying out, how long will you deliver us? God was orchestrating events of history so that the Chaldeans or the Babylonians would come to world dominance and power and finally bring an end to the violence and injustice in Judah. So God is going to raise a pagan nation to judge the nation of Judah. Habakkuk had to wait for God's timing for deliverance. But God assured him that once the Babylonians come, the deliverance will be swift and sure. As the verse 6 says, they were a nation that is bitter and hasty. They threw things quick. They will bring judgment quickly to the nation of Judah. Look at the words again, hasty and hurry. It implies that they are people who move very quickly, in a hurry. They swept across the earth. Their horses are swifter than leopards. Their cavalry gallops headlong. They fly like an eagle, as the Bible says. That means they sweep past like the wind. So the judgment will come down very quickly, very swiftly. But you must wait. But when it comes, it will happen so quickly before you even know it. So when we are in trouble and God does not deliver us right away, We may sometimes think that God does not care. But God promises to deliver us in His own time. Make sure you wait on God. And when the judgment comes, it will come swiftly and quickly. 1 Peter 5:10 reminds us that we need to look to God's timing for deliverance, not our own. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe part of our calling is to be called to suffer with Christ. A lot of churches do not like to mention that. We are called to be partakers of Christ's sufferings. And you may not understand the purpose. We may not understand the reason why God do that. Well, at least the Bible says that eventually He wants to bring us to be into conformity of His Son through sufferings, yes. But when things happen, we ask why? Why do you allow this to happen to me? Yes, well, it's God called us to suffer with Christ, with Him. But so later on we may share His what? Eternal glory. So compared to the temporal sufferings that we here endure on this earth, and with the glory that we shall receive in heaven, it is so little, it is so small, the suffering that we receive on this earth, compared to the glory that we shall receive. So we know that God cares because He assures us that He will hear our every prayer. And we know that we mentioned that our prayer must be according to His will, and it must be prayer according to the right motive, and we must pray with a pure heart. And we also know that God cares because He promises us that He will deliver us in His own time. Not our time, but in His time, which is always perfect and beautiful. Right? And then thirdly and finally, we know that God cares because He affirms that He will judge all evil in the world. Now God answers Habakkuk's second question. Remember, He answered Habakkuk's first question, how long? Now He answers Habakkuk's second question, how wrong? How wrong for You to allow this thing from happening? Why, Lord, do You tolerate wrong? God's answer to Habakkuk is basically this: I do not tolerate wrong or sin. I will eventually judge all the wrongs and the world. I will do it. The nation of Judah was full of violence and injustice. Judah had turned away from God and His law, and now God would judge Judah for her sins. How does He do it? God would raise up a pagan nation, the nation of Babylon, the Chaldeans, for this very reason. And it is recorded in verses 6 to 11. So let us briefly look at what it is like for when the Babylonians will come down to exercise judgment on behalf of God. Verses 6 to 11. Verse 6, God calls the Babylonians bitter and hasty nation. As I mentioned, bitter speaks of the bitterness of judgment that is to come. And the word hasty means to be in a hurry. So the judgment will be bitter and will be quick. And then God says that in verse 6, so also that they will march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. The dwelling places could be referring to the dwelling places of the people of Judah. But the word dwelling place is also referring to tabernacle, because it's the same word that is used in Hebrew. Some say that means not only will the Babylonians take away the people's houses in Judah, but they will also destroy the temple, God's permanent dwelling place in Jerusalem, which they have placed, which have replaced the tabernacle. So the temple will be destroyed, which it did. And the houses will be destroyed as well. And verse 7, God says, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. These verse tells us that Babylonians have no respect for law or justice, and they have no concern for anyone or people's lives. He can't negotiate with them. They are cruel. They're only concerned with their own dignity and pride. They're out there to kill and do plundage and do plundering. Thus, they are a terrible and dreadful people. And verse 8 describes the Babylonians in terms of swift and fierce predators. They are compared as to lepers, which is renowned for their speed, and even wolves, hungry and ready for the hunt. And as eagles that were sweeping down to devour. So these were terrible people. And verses 9 and 10, the Babylonians is an unstoppable force. And verse 11, finally, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing his power unto his God. Notice how the descriptions of the Babylonians correspond in many ways to the people of Judah. Judah was full of violence, and the Babylonians are described as ruthless and cruel and all bent on violence. In Judah, justice was also distorted, and the law was paralyzed, was ignored totally. And now Judah will be overcome by a people who are a law to themselves because they disregard any law. They are a law to themselves. They are similar people. And God is using one people to judge another people who have disregard to His law, His holy law. Habakkuk then asked God, why do you tolerate wrong? God answered Habakkuk, I don't and I won't. Judah will be judged for her sin, and I will use Babylonians to judge them. You see, when we see injustice in the world, when we see the wicked triumphant over the righteous, we may sometimes think that God does not care. But God affirms that He will judge all the evil in this world. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose, for every work. God said. To summarize, you might wonder why God waited so long to judge the people of Judah. We know from the other books of the Old Testament that God did not judge the nation of Judah right away because He was giving them time to repent and turn from their sins. And Habakkuk was asking, how long will you judge them? And how wrong of you to allowing all these things from happening? And God sent prophets like Jeremiah and Habakkuk to warn them of the coming judgment, but they would not listen. What is the application here? Now, the same situation exists today. God is in His mercy also gives us time to turn away from our sins to come to Christ for salvation. Of course, for those of you already saved, your salvation is secure in the hands of God. And for those of you who have not yet been saved, God is merciful. God has given you time for you to turn away from your sin. Who has no sin? Everybody's sinner. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Mankind's sin deserves judgment and the wages of sin is death, eternal death. But the Bible also said in 2 Peter 3:9, said that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. His judgment is not being delayed, and as some men count as slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's being patient to us, toward us. And it says, dear friends, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear friend, God is urging you to do one thing. If you repent of your sins, for those of you who have not yet been saved, if you repent of your sins and come to Christ, you will be saved. But if you do not, God's time of judgment will also come for you. Just as it did for Judah, He will come for you too one day. God is certainly merciful, but please, I plead with you, by the mercies of God, do not take God's mercies for granted. Make no mistake, God does care about sin and evil, and He affirms that He will judge all evil in the world one day. But perhaps Habakkuk's struggle with unanswered prayer, with trials and troubles in life, and with problems of evil, and perhaps you have been struggling with doubts, just like Habakkuk. Perhaps you have been wondering, what am I supposed to do with all my questions and doubts? Well, bring it before the Lord. Pray unto Him, and you shall seek your answers. I believe Habakkuk presents good examples for us in this regard. He came to God with all of his questions and doubts, and God answered him. And he may not have been the answer that he was looking for, but ultimately, we learned that God cares. He certainly cares. In fact, God's answer actually prompted a whole new set of questions for Habakkuk, which we will address next week when we meet. So today we answered the question, does God care? I can tell you, God certainly cares. God loves His people with an everlasting love. He will always hear a prayer, and He will answer your prayer certainly, as long as your prayer is in accordance to His will. With the right motive, if you pray unto Him with a pure heart. Let us pray.